And tonight we're going to talk, and this summer we're going to dedicate a lot of time to our marriage. And I know there are some people here in the house that are not married, but these principles work throughout life. And if God gives you the opportunity to be married again, even more so. But one of the greatest needs, we have an epidemic, we have a crisis, we have a plague right now in our society, and it's marriage. The failed marriages. Even recently in the 2010 census that they did last year, since 1974, I think, the percentage of married couples in the United States was at 74%. Now it's down to 48%. Meaning, and this is in the United States, we're not even talking about in Southern California, it's probably lower. But the number of married couples in the United States compared to what it was, what it is now, it's dropping, that percentage in the population. And it's going to continue to get lower and lower unless somebody says, I want to make a difference. And already now, people are coming to me, family members, friends are saying, hey, I understand that you guys are focusing on marriage and family. Can you help us out? I've got a family member that's getting married in the fall. He said, can you give us the premarital talks? I said, sure, and then we'll see what else we can sneak in along the way. But it's a crisis, and it's really bad. People are walking into relationships with the lights off. They have no idea what they're doing. And marriage is a byword. And the answers aren't complex. You don't need to go and get a master's degree, you know, in counseling and in marriage to have a great marriage. It's very simple. Who created marriage? God did. He's got the answers. And, you know, after you did Crown, you say, there's no reason for us to have a bad financial situation. It should be rare. After we go through marriage principles and some of the things you're going to hear tonight, you'll say the same thing. There's no reason. There should be no reason for me to have a bad marriage. There should be no reason for me to be afraid. How's it going to work out? And so let's begin our Bible study tonight. The power of a praying couple. And this applies to families and households. It applies to raising your children also when they get up to the teen years. We'll begin with this scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. And we're recording this class. It's going to go up on the website. I believe it's so important. We need this terribly. And you can hear it again and you can pass it on to other couples. But look what Jesus said here in Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. You know, this is an awesome verse. And, you know, you'll hear this verse in prayer nights when we have our all-night prayer night in the fall for the brothers. We quote this verse. We look at it in prayer groups. We always quote this verse when we get together to prayer. But how often is it really applied to marriage? To really say, you know, just two of us, if we get together on anything, God will hear it and He will bless it. He will help us. He will answer. And this applies to two particular areas. One is relationships. That's what Matthew 18 is all about. Earlier on in the chapter, you know, we famous Matthew, if your brother sins against you, what do? Like the song goes, take it to your brother and your brother alone. And if he doesn't listen to you, take somebody else. But what's the whole point of that? I want to restore. I want to rescue. I want to help my brother. It's not so I gotcha. No, that's not the point. The point is I want to help my brother. I'm my brother's keeper. And that applies to a marriage also. But so the point of this is relationship, but it's also prayer. Two things. Relationships and prayer. In the Message Bible, look what it says in the same verse. I'll read it to you. The Message Bible, verse 19. when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Awesome translation here for this verse. Anything. And this whole point of this, the verse is talking about the power of agreement. If two of you come together on something, agreement. The word for agree in the Greek is basically what we get harmony from. Harmony. Margie? Harmony. What's harmony? Two chords, two notes. When they come together, it could be several chords, several notes. But when they come together, what do you have? It's a beautiful sound. But if it's not together, how's it sound? It's not good, right? And that's what we hear our brothers and sisters on Sunday. They harmonize, and when they're not harmonizing, you know, you go, Okay, but we're with you. You know, we get it. We're trying. We're growing. You know, how about those graduation bands? High school graduation bands, when they pray, when they play the song, the graduation song. Na, 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 na. You know, when it's an orchestra and when it's a band that they're on cue and they're harmonious, it's powerful. When you graduate, you're like, yeah. And you hear that march and you're like, yeah. But what about that high school band where, you know, you go, man, I wish I were somewhere else right now. It's just isn't doing it. This is no, no, no. They need to graduate. But it's the word is essentially to agree. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity. I'm sure some of you have. But if you've ever been to a 100 instrument full orchestra, what's the max on an orchestra, Margie? You can help me. 120, and then a chorus behind the. I mean, we're talking about 180 different people playing different instruments, 14 violins, and you know all these instruments, and when they are harmonious, when they come together, it's like wow. Some of the greatest orchestras that have ever been, you know, these pieces of music, when they have an orchestra coming together, it's powerful. It stirs you. So many different instruments, but when they come together, and that's prayer. That's the church. When we come together on something, when we are harmonious, when we have harmony, but when we're not harmonious, what's that like? It doesn't. God's like, what? What? I can't quite hear that. And that's why it's so important for us in our marriages, in the church, to agree. Focus on what we agree on. Instead of being nitpickers about what we don't agree and what's different about us, let's focus on what's the same about us. Our faith. And look what else, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 13, when our faith and our actions, he says, I believe, therefore I speak. So what he's saying here is when your faith and your actions are working together, some people, they have faith, but their actions aren't working in accordance with their faith. Meaning there's no harmony. They believe something, but they don't act as if they believed. And it's very important to see this connection that our faith, and that's what Paul's talking about. Therefore, we believe, and therefore we speak, is what he talks about there. Look in Genesis chapter 11, or look on the screen, Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. What's the story here? The Tower of Babel. In verse 6 it says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, obviously, their motivation was ungodly, was sinful. It was all about them. They were trying to make themselves God-like. But what if you purify it and you say, I want to do God's will and I understand my place and I want to be unified with my brothers and sisters? What if we as a church get this unified on our vision and on our mission for God? Helping families in the East San Gabriel Valley. What if we come together on this? Nothing will be impossible for us. But what about marriage? Husband and wife. What about a family? Mother and daughter, mother and son. When you come together on this, nothing can stop you. Nothing is impossible for you. And then this verse in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What's this talking about? This is talking about relationships. And some people have this idea that I can make it on my own. I can do it. And this verse addresses that. No, you're going to be weak. You will be broken. You will be brought down. But if you're together, and the awesome thing about the, who are the three strands? You know, some of you have been to some weddings and they do the cords and they tie the cords. There's three strands. Who's the third strand? God or Jesus? Imagine having Jesus in your marriage. He's that third strand. He's wrapped right there in the middle. What kind of marriage are we talking about? And this could also apply to a household. Putting God in the middle of anything, it will not be quickly broken. In fact, you will stand strong. And this whole idea is when how the devil works, how people get strayed away from God is when they get isolated. And they think, well, I don't need my faith group. I don't need Wednesday night. I don't need Sunday service every Sunday. I can get by with a little less. I don't need to have close relationships in the church. I can get by with less. Oh, really? In my 26 years, my experience has been, no, you won't. And you will go through challenges. Even this weekend, when we went through this whole thing, this ordeal, I thought my wife was having a seizure Friday morning. She passed out, but she passed out in such a way her eyes rolled back. I'm sure she wouldn't appreciate me sharing all this, but her eyes rolled back. Her right arm started shaking. It was scary. This was my first waking sight. I opened my eyes. Boom, there's my wife right in front of me. She's passing out. Looked like she was having a seizure. But to hear the phone calls, the care, the concern, the prayers, right off the bat, it gave us tremendous strength. You know, and I've done this for many people and many times, but this time I was on the receiving end. And it encouraged my faith to know I'm not alone. And I cannot do this alone. I need my brothers and sisters. And it gave us great strength. You know, and we've got brothers and sisters that are going through horrific situations. But because they have Jesus and they have their brothers and sisters there, because they're together, they're not easily broken. They're not easily brought down. Look at these verses, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Tremendous power in the first century church. Verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. So you got the 120 plus Jesus' family. And no wonder the day of Pentecost happened, because they were together, they were in harmony, and they were in prayer. God was among them. He was with them. And then there was an explosion. How about for us, if we come together like this? There can be another explosion of this kind. But too often, It doesn't happen because we're out on our own. And then chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, where were they? They were all together in one place. Probably doing what? In prayer. You know, and I appreciate so many people that came by to visit Laura in the hospital and they say, can we pray? Yes, absolutely. Please, pray with us. Because that's our life. That's our strength. That's our power. But as we look at this in the context of marriage, going back to the verse in Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20, I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth, you can ask anything. You got marriage challenges lately? How's your prayer life? How's it really going? And you're going to see some recent studies that have come out. And, you know, God wants to work. And this also would apply to if you've got a child. And I remember going through this study a number of weeks ago. And, you know, there were some things, you know, when teens go through their teen years, it's a turbulent time for parents. It's a great time God brings you to your knees. But I remember this verse and I said, you know what? And I would pray with my kids and I'd say, God, I want you to come right here in the middle of my family. I want you to come between us. I want you to be in our family. I want you to be in the middle, right here among us. I got to have you in the middle here. And it gave me a deeper conviction about my marriage. If I want to have a great marriage, guess who's got to be in the middle? Right there in the middle. God does. And if you want to have this kind of marriage, if you want to have this kind of family, this will even work in roommate relationships, households, to pray together every day. Well, let's get down to the statistics. There's some recent studies. Amazing. You can find studies on just about everything. How much rain falls on a watermelon in Louisiana? They got studies on everything. You know, how many mosquitoes in the summertime? And there's studies on everything. But there aren't that many studies on prayer at home among married couples until recently. Pretty ironic, isn't it? Something that matters so much to our society and something that we're hemorrhaging over right now. What if we could get every married couple in the church praying together every day? Together. And there's some statistics here. Less than 10% of Christian families read the Bible. And this is kind of general our Christianity in the United States, evangelical Christianity. Less than 10% of Christians' families read the Bible together outside of church. How does this apply to you at home? Family devotionals. And I'm excited in the fall we're going to come out with a new curriculum for our kids on Sundays. And you're going to get not just a little craft, you know, on Sundays, you know, that they bring home their little craft. You're going to get a little piece of paper that comes with it. And guess what's going to be on that piece of paper? A family devotional. And the expectation is you're going to do that family devotional with your family that week. Why? Because we want to help families. We understand the importance of this. If you just do this, if you just have a family devotional, it can make a huge difference in your family dynamic. It means God will be a more part of your household. Makes such a difference. Less than 8% of married couples pray together regularly outside of a meal. Oh yeah, we pray together at lunch and at dinner and breakfast. No, that doesn't count because you already know. You know what to say when you pray for a meal, right? It's the same prayer over and over. God, thank you for the food. Thank you and bless those that are in need. I'm talking about a prayer where you get intimate with God in front of your family. Here's our need. Here's our situation. Help us out. Less than 8% of married couples. This is in Christian churches. And this doesn't include a crisis because obviously it goes up higher when you're in a crisis. This is non-crisis time. 8%. How about in our church? You know, how about in here? How would it be? But what if tonight we all decide, I'm going to change that. And the reason why I wanted to share this summer I want us to take a challenge together this summer, that we're going to pray together as married couples every day this summer. Okay, because I know if we said the rest of our lives, we go, no, I don't know, that's too much. No, just this summer. Just this summer. Okay? If you're working, you're traveling, a phone call. God bless our marriage. Come right here in the middle of our marriage. I want you to watch. Let's watch this video of a couple that started praying together and the difference that it made.
Well, I discovered that relationship with husband and wife definitely went to the next level. We were able to have less arguments. We were able to, when we felt that an argument was coming, we would stop and we'd pray together, which is something that we never thought about before. And I just really learned that my husband was vulnerable and that he did have concerns and worries, which were before I thought maybe he just didn't care. It definitely affected our whole life on a whole new level. When you fight less, you love more. That's what they're saying.
Okay, so what's the downside? The staggering thing is that they've done studies on it. The most intimate act between a husband and a wife, guess what it is? It's not lovemaking. It's prayer. We're going to look at this in the fall. Okay, we've got a series on love, sex, and relationships. The new rules versus the old rules. And just what our society has done with all this. What people don't realize is, you know, intimacy is spiritual. It is not physical. People are all messed up. But what is the most intimate act that you can participate in a marriage? It's prayer. You see, the walls come down. That level of vulnerability. You're both on your knees before God. And it affects every area. Look what happens when couples pray together. This was the Barna research done here in the United States. And this is in the United States where 94% of our population say they believe in God. Okay? 94% say they believe in God. And 70% are self-proclaimed evangelical. But beyond that, it doesn't mean absolutely anything, these statistics. We live in a society, you've got to look at exactly. But these are couples that are new research and old research. 78% are the couples that pray together every day versus 60% who don't pray together every day. The 78%, an 18% increase, say they're happier. They're just happier because they pray together every day. Then 91% versus 74% say because they pray together, my spouse is my BFF. What's BFF? Best friend forever. How's your relationship with your wife or your husband? Well, I don't feel close. Guess why? 91% of the couples that pray together every day say, I have a best friend relationship with my husband. So what's the missing ingredient? It's prayer. We continue, 75% versus 64%. The 75 being couples that pray together every day versus 64 who don't. They agree on how to raise their kids. So you get a bump up of 11%. If you're praying together, you're going to agree on how to raise your kids. 69% versus 58% agree on what we just went through for 10 weeks. How to use the money. Just a simple act of praying together increases your agreement on how to spend the money. 72% versus 52%. Now this is what we just talked about. Feel an increase, now that's 20% increase on the quality and the quantity of intimacy is that much better. Just because you pray together. And look what else. Couples that pray together have every day. Zero fear. Zero. This was done in a study. They had zero fear that they were going to be involved in a divorce. Want to have no fear? Get God involved in your marriage. You want to live in fear? Then take God out of it. This is staggering. Now there's more here. Look at this. I don't know if you've been watching the news. This is a news report that came out recently of a study. And this is interdenominational interfaith. This is actually a priest that shares this statistic, this new study. So it crosses lines. This isn't about one church. This is about couples from all walks of faith that do this simple act of praying together every day. Look what the news report said. Break it down for you. One out of every 1,200 couples that pray together, one out of every 1,200 couples that pray together regularly, meaning just about every day, get a divorce. That's, as he said, 0.001%. It's so small. If you just pray together every day, you can guarantee that you will not get a divorce. We are in Southern California where the statistics are as high as 80% divorce rate. You want to eliminate that? And we need to eliminate that in our church. We have a responsibility to eliminate it. If we just do this. And, you know, I hate when the media, they try to explain something away and they say, well, it's not really God intervening. Oh, yes, it is. It's absolutely God intervening. And God is waiting to help a married couple be the best marriage because He created it. He knows how it works. And He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives, including our marriage. But if you want to eliminate fear and you want to eliminate the possibility that you will be separated or divorced, pray together every day. And watch the power of your marriage. You know, I want to be open with you guys. The reason why I think, it's not because I have more conviction about it, because it's because of my occupation. It forces me to pray with my wife. We're in a situation where, and it's not because I'm more spiritual, it's just because what we're involved in, what we do, forces us to our knees. We hear a lot more situations. We're aware of the need in the church, and it forces us. God, we need You. We have to pray together every day. But it's not because we're more. And what I would say is, the more you get involved in ministry, the same kind of thing will happen in your life. The less involved you are in ministry, the less involved you are in church life, the less you're going to see your need for God. Because you're involved in other things. And think about, do you think a couple that prays together every day, what do you think their conviction about this is? Just by the very fact that they pray together every day, what do you think their conviction is about this? What do you think their conviction is when they are tempted with infidelity at work? If they're praying together every day, it will be wiped out. You think they're going to sporadically be going to church when you're praying together every day? You look a little deeper and you see that the lifestyle that these people are living, but that just the fact that you pray together makes all the difference. And then it adds other dimensions to your life. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. In the New Living Translation, it says here, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Again, a reminder of who's the third person in your marriage? Who's the third person in your household? Involved with your kids? Are you going to bring Jesus? Remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Who was in the furnace with them? And do you think it was a coincidence? Why was he there with them in the fiery furnace? Because they were praying. They asked God, come in here with us. It's hot in here, but we want you in here with us. Who was with Daniel in the lion's den? And let me tell you, in the world that we live in, it is a lion's den. Who's going to be with you in your lion's den, in your situation? And so I want to encourage you this summer, just take this summer as your test, that you're going to take this challenge, that you're going to pray every day together as a married couple. And maybe your spouse isn't here tonight. I want you to take this home. My spouse isn't here tonight. But we already talked about this before the class. I shared with her about the class. I said, okay, we're going to take the challenge. I know we do this. This is our conviction, but every day. And next week I'm going to be in Mexico. And I said, all right, we're going to work out a plan so I can call you. And we're not going to miss a day this summer. And let's watch our marriage go to a whole nother level. I want to encourage you to do that. That you can take your marriage to a whole nother level. I promise you in the marriage principles this will come out somewhere. But I wanted to go ahead and start with just this principle, that we'll take it, we'll run with it. Then listen, this is our last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. What other nation is so great to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? I mean, just the fact that He hears our prayer, what other nation, what other people besides the followers of Christ have that intimacy, have that line, that direct 911 ear to God? That you have an inroad to hearing Him in Jesus' name, that He can hear you. I mean, what a tremendous blessing we have. But are you going to take advantage of it? You know, Crown was great, but are you going to take advantage of it? This lesson, so simple, just one-dimensional. Pray with your wife outside of the meal, you know, outside, just you and her. And you, amen, pray with your kids, but just you and her. Set aside that time. And I know for me, there are very few breakfasts that I miss in 365 days a year. Very few. I can maybe count on two hands. There aren't many. I love breakfast. And I gotta have it. How many of us go through our day and go, I'm not gonna get gas today? And you're riding on E and the little light's on. I'm not gonna get gas. No. I'm not gonna do it. What do? You pull over and you get gas. Why? Because you gotta have it. You better get it. You need it. Do we have that conviction about prayer? I'm going to run out of gas today. I'm going to starve. Honey, we got to pray together. In our household, we got to pray together. Me and my children. Me and my roommates. Whoever it is. We have to pray. I got to have it. Got to do it. Or I'll starve. That needs to be our mentality. Amen? So, talk amongst yourselves. I'd like for it to be a pact that you make with your faith partners, maybe in your faith group, that you take that on. If you fail, you're not going to be stoned. If you miss a day, you're not going to be, you know, cast out. No. But that you're going to make your very best effort to pray together this summer, every day. Okay? And meals don't count, and prayer with the kids don't count. Okay? Are we in agreement? Do you receive it? Okay. Are you gonna take it? I promise you, you will be the person most blessed in your life and your children as they see it happen. Amen. Let's close out with a prayer. Do you have an announcement, Mike? Standing. I did. Friday night. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay, can somebody, we don't have our tray, can somebody donate your hat, Marty, some dirty money? Dirty hair, dirty money. How about Kevin, could you donate a hat? We're going to pass the hat. This is for our benevolent contribution that we prayed for next, in the beginning.
Next midweek. This is from here.
Okay, so Kevin, maybe you guys can, one hat on this side, one hat on that side. And then I'm going to ask, while we take up our collection, if you can, if you have children downstairs, if you can make sure that before you fellowship, that you go and get your kids, then you can come back up and have fellowship. Okay? Thanks for reminding me, Kevin. Diane did it. Thank you. See? The better half. It's true in my house, too. All right, and then another announcement that we have while we're taking the benevolent contribution up. Next midweek, there's going to be a training for all the VBS teachers in the Kingdom Kids rooms for kindergarten and under. Okay, so if you're a teacher for the VBS program, instead of being here, you'll be downstairs receiving training. So next Wednesday. Okay? So if you've already taken up your benevolent contribution, you are dismissed. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Father's Day. Our Father's Day. Amen? Thank you. God bless you and your marriage.
Thank you.